Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. When you knew it was time to get divorced. Jay on the road.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
So we got married about 7 months later. She's pregnant. No big deal. That's how life's supposed to go, I assumed. And then when we had the kid, wasn't mine.
Whose was it?
I don't know. I've always had assumptions, but I don't know.
How did you know? Did you have a hunch and then find out, or did you knew? How did all that happen?
So the baby was born. I'm very, very pale, and so is she. And then the baby was not so pale.
Ah.
And that was like the first thing. And
sometimes that could be from ancestry.
Right. Yeah. Skips a generation or a couple of years.
Yeah.
Right.
Go with that.
Right. Yeah. Go with that.
Right. So you're like, huh. So the first time you look at your baby, you're like, huh.
This one was left there for longer.
That's a weird feeling.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And then,
it's like, oh, my baby.
No, it's okay. She burns everything.
Then yeah. What was next?
We kind of discussed it, before we even left the hospital. We were kind of in agreement that, she confessed to,
Oh, really?
Yeah. In the hospital?
Yeah, before we even, I think it was, it was the next day, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So the baby wasn't a little, darker than you guys.
Right.
Okay.
Right. All gotcha. Right.
You could just tell, you're like, what? And then she's like, yeah. You're like, oh. She's like,
You're like, huh?
How did she? You're like, huh?
Huh?
You're like, oh. She's like, You're like,
Oh, no.
What did she say? Did you ask, or did she just out with it, or?
She kind of. I want to say it was the very next morning. I was holding the baby. She was in the bed. And she's like, so, I slept with someone else. And I was like, I kind of figured.
Yeah. I have given to my hands right here.
You're holding the baby when she tells you this?
Right.
Well, yeah, because I'm not going to,
I got you. You're a good person, but
exactly.
You're there. But so, that's the moment. Like, you're holding the baby. She's like, just so you know.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And she tells you that, and then what did you say? I kind of figured.
Yeah, we had the conversation. It was like, obviously, I have four kids now. And,
you seem like a pretty mellow dude.
Yeah.
You handled that well, like a mature adult.
Right. So a funny thing happened. I was having a kid.
And then you got divorced.
Yep. And then I got married again.
And how's that going?
I'm currently in the divorce.
You're going through a divorce now. What happened this time around?
Last time we kissed was the day we got married. And I just kind of grew apart.
I can't. Can you move the mouthpiece to closer to your mouth?
I'm barely hear
a hard
you.
Time
oh,
hearing
sorry. You. Sorry. Yeah, last time we kissed was our wedding day.
How long ago was that?
5 years now.
Oh, that's been a hell of a kiss. Still numb over.
So did you have did you consummate the marriage? Don't want to be too personal, but
yeah.
So that was the last time. That was it.
We have a couple times throughout the years, but not like it was before we got married.
And who asked for the divorce, you or her?
I asked for it, but she filed first.
Oh,
she won. Yes.
You asked, and then she ran out the door.
She did.
Where are you going?
She comes back. I want a divorce. It's like, no, wait. I want a divorce.
Right, too late now.
It's like, you can't quit.
Yeah, too late.
I fired you.
Right, I'm on base. Too late.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. I quit.
Nope.
Oh, no, you don't.
You can't fire me. I quit.
You're fired.
No.
I fired you.
No.
Oh, no. I got the paper. I was first.
Damn it. Give me that. No, give me that.
Yeah. All right. We're giving you tickets,
yeah,
first
man.
Of all. Everyone else is in the running, but you're going.
Yeah, so don't meet anybody.
Pick a good person to bring with you.
Right, like your brother or something.
You sound like a good dude.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, all right, Jay, hold on. We want to get your info.
Okay.
All right. Let's go with Keith from Guilford. Keith?
Good morning.
Good morning. We got about a minute.
All right, I'll tell it quick. I knew something was kind of going on, and the wife wasn't, you know, really telling me. Long story short, I found out she was 3 months pregnant, and it wasn't mine.
How do you know it wasn't yours?
Because she was cheating on me with a security guard at work.
Oh. Did I have a badge or what, little white shoes? And
white shoes?
White socks and black shoes, I meant to say.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on in your head?
Well, the senior village would be white shoes, the same.
But, yeah, it was crazy. It hurt, but what are you going to do? Life goes on.
No, that stings.
Yeah, it does.
How did you know it wasn't yours?
Oh, well, after she punched me in the face.
Wow. But what did you do before she, right before she punched you in the face, what did you say?
Oh, God. I feel something like, how can you do this to me?
Wow. Then she punched you in the face.
Right.
Yeah, she goes, you're a loser. And she said all this crap and whammo, hit me in the face.
Yeah. So what's the deal with weed in Connecticut?
What?
Where are we? Is it going to happen? Are they gearing up for another session? I don't know.
What happened?
Let's ask Joe LaChance, the weed guy.
Oh.
What's going on?
Good morning.
Hey. Good morning.
Yes, there was an article on Fox 61 that the future of weed looks hazy, and I think that's a good way to describe it right now.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're doing up there yet.
Yeah, we knew that already. That was an easy one.
Right.
You mean specifically on weed.
Right.
Well, we know they don't know what they're doing up there anyway, right?
Right.
But, specifically on weed, last we heard they wanted to put it up for a vote to the public, meaning a referendum. Because, of course, they don't want to take responsibility for it. It's an election year coming up. It's a short session coming up. They have all these excuses why it's not going to be a priority. So that's the direction they were headed at the end of the last session.
So not good. You would file this under not good.
That is not a good way to go.
No.
No, not at all. Because, first of all, it will take a lot longer, and it's a whole other process. And then it becomes like a campaign after that. You know, literally, you get the opposition out there. They start putting commercials, anti-marijuana. I saw what happened in Massachusetts. It becomes like a campaign out there.
Yeah.
It gets crazy.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. If anyone takes a vote on it now,
right.
That'll be used against them in the election.
Right.
It's funny
exactly.
How all of this, you know, they're not up there to make good decisions. They're up there to just stay up there.
Right.
You know, so
they all want to keep their jobs. And that's the problem. It really is.
It is a problem because it'd be so much better without them.
It would.
You know, what's funny is when they're not there, when they're all off on vacations and stuff. The state just runs just fine.
Life is better.
You know what I mean?
The air smells cleaner. Food tastes better.
There's no problems right now.
Nothing.
It's like when this car has no driver, it's better.
Yes. Thank you. Keep it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, Ned is up there fishing with the governor of New York talking about legalization and how they failed. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that. We have some clips in an hour that we'll play. Highlights from the press conference after the governor went on a fishing trip. So he goes on this vacation for 2 weeks. The state's on fire, right?
Yeah.
This is what millionaires who've never built a company do when they don't know what to do, right? They go in, they don't do anything, and then they go on vacation, and then they just have a bunch of lunches. They just sit around and they eat, and they talk about how things would be if everything went their way.
Right. But
they don't know how to make things go their way.
How do I do this?
So he goes to Maine for a vacation, and then he drives right through Connecticut, right, to go to New York, right?
Uh-huh.
I think he would have to come through here, right?
Yeah.
And we have this big bluefish tournament that's happening. Does he stop to make any acknowledgement? No.
No.
He goes up to New York to go fishing.
Right.
And wait until you hear the press conference. But anyway, I didn't want to make this about him. It's weed, and so there was so much hope and promise. You know, because it was a Democratic governor and a Democratic legislator.
Revenue, we need revenue.
And new and revenue and all. And it was like,
oh, he promised.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He did say that.
Oh, they thought it was going to be tolls, weed. We're gonna run the table in like 5 days.
Yeah. Nope.
Right.
Yeah. None of that happened.
Nope.
And then they couldn't agree on anything except 10 cents on plastic bags.
Right. Exactly. In a nutshell, yeah. Basically, yes.
Yeah. It's weird. They couldn't agree on anything, but they were able to suck another almost $1 billion out of the economy in taxes.
So amazing, isn't it?
Good for them. They're very good at that one thing.
They're good at sucking. Yes.
Yes.
You don't have any real champions in Hartford. Looney wants it. He's wanted that since, 2003, I think we had him in studio.
He's so Looney. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's wanted it for a long time. He's been a champion. Mike D'Agostino's been a champion. There's been a few, but unfortunately, Arsimowitz was never really behind it. Let's get real.
No, he was never.
And that was the point. He was more behind the tolls than behind the legal weed.
Toll boy.
And if he's not pushing them, then they're not, you know, they have no incentive to do it.
Right.
So they had put other things in front of it. We do not want to see a referendum. We would like to propose a strip.
Why? Why don't you want the people to vote for it?
Because I think that this is a good way for the opposition to squash it. Because 72% of the people may want it. But not all those 72% of the people go out and vote. And that's the thing. You have to get all those people to go.
Your
out.
People sit on the couch, stoned, eating Doritos.
Right.
They don't go out and vote.
Go to their house and get the vote.
You know, if you think about it, there's no worse place to be besides a police station than the polling place when you're stoned.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bright lights.
Exactly.
Everyone's straight.
Yep.
It's like, I'm not supposed to be here right now.
You got to fill that tiny little box without going over
it. Yeah.
There's
nothing good or fun about being at a polling place when you're stoned.
But you got a sticker.
No.
The sticker's cool.
No. That's why you got to go early in the morning.
Yeah. So a new study released Monday by Pew Charitable Trust warns that states like Connecticut, which are seriously considering legalization, should be cautious when estimating how much money can be generated from the potentially volatile revenue source. Pew found it's difficult to predict demand for a product that was previously illegal in the state and remains illegal federally. In Nevada, for example, revenue came in 40% higher than anticipated and then 45% lower in California.
Hmm.
Yeah, it came in lower in California because they taxed it so high that the people would rather go to the black market than go to the legal shops.
They'd rather risk being arrested.
Harsh their buzz, yeah.
Wow.
Mm. Plus, that's what they were used to doing anyway. So, yeah, that's a deceiving study. And, you know, and they also said, oh, the costs would be too high. Well, in none of the other states that legalized, the costs were too high. And I don't know if you just saw, but Colorado just passed $1 billion
really?
In revenue. From legalized weed, and they put it all.
There's a culture that they've been working on in Colorado for I don't know over 50 years though. That's been known as the Mile High State, not just for the altitude.
Right.
You know, that's been a weed friendly state for a long time.
And it's paying off, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. But look at Massachusetts. How much they have made?
How much have they made?
Last I heard, it was like $24 million, but I'm sure it's much more than that now. I haven't seen the latest.
$24 million I don't know. Didn't somebody in Hartford say $10 million is a drop in a bucket?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Right. They're gone now.
But that was within a couple months. It was $24 million.
Oh.
You know, imagine in a full year what they're going to make.
Oh, wait, that was $24 million in a few months?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to exceed that. And, you know, I tell you, I was at the Oyster Fest this weekend working a booth for Normal.
Right.
I would say a third of the people who I talk to say they go up to Massachusetts, just take the ride up there and buy the recreational. So there is money leaving Connecticut and going into Massachusetts for sure.
Well, and you're just talking about weed. There's a lot of money leaving Connecticut for Massachusetts.
Right.
You're just saying specifically weed. People driving over the border, they stop there, they'll get some gas, they'll get this, they'll get that, they'll get the weed, and they'll come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's Connecticut saying that they could make? What are the numbers on potential revenue?
Well, they said thought it would be over $71 million altogether, but they thought in the first year.
What is that based on? How do you come up with that number?
Yeah, they said $70 million in the first year. Well, I think they were thinking they probably go by a little bit by what they do with the medical program already and just think about if they tax the medical program, how much they would make. Yeah. And then they figure they're going to get at least
some new people.
Five times that many.
Right.
And so they figure that out. But they say, you know, once the program's going, it could get up to $150 million. But if you look at Massachusetts, that's totally possible.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you, but I just think the people who, if you get caught with weed right now, how bad is it?
If you get caught with less than a half ounce, it's a $150 fine.
That's it.
And like then, being on the phone, yeah.
Do you have to go to court?
No, you just pay a ticket.
And that's it?
Right.
And then, like, third time, it's still $150?
Yeah. And then if you have more, they raise the fine a little bit.
Okay.
So they're not, and that's kind of what we'd like to see is just have them legalize marijuana for possession, just to get started. Possession, just like they did in Vermont.
Or lower the fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, or lower the fine.
$10 ticket.
Or higher the amount, one or the other.
Yeah, yeah. Because I have a feeling that this is one of those be careful what you wish for. I think if it becomes legal in Connecticut, you're going to be paying so much in taxes. I was just at a gas station. I looked up at cigarettes.
Yeah.
10 and change a pack.
Amazing, isn't it?
Like, it's amazing what these people do.
Wow.
The actual product probably, if there were no tax on it, probably cost you a dollar.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
If that.
So be careful with the weed, you know? So
I am starting to agree with you a little bit more, Chaz. The more I talk to these legislatures, they are all about the money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They are all about the money, and Connecticut wants to overtax, tax everything. So, right, we'll get it here, but we're going to pay for it. People are better off sticking with the medical program if they want it.
Yeah, I think so. And there's enough doctors out there who,
who will do it.
Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah. I don't know. What's wrong with you? Okay, here.
Yeah.
I don't know what you said, but sounds good.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm hot today. Here you go.
They've added a lot of conditions. There's over 31 conditions. People can get it. People can get their cards. They just have to find it, you know, find the right doctor to do it.
Right.
So I feel like we have breaking news here. A guy with normal says maybe it's better just to do the medical marijuana.
And legalize it like Vermont did. Yeah, just a basic legalization, make possession legal.
Is that a shift in strategy you guys are looking at? Like you're giving up on Hartford doing the right thing?
Yeah, I think this year we'd like to propose that stripped-down legalization to start rather than ask for everything at once in that bill. I think part of the problem with that bill that they put together was there was just too much in it, and they couldn't get all the legislatures to agree on every piece of it.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to go back to the beginning of the conversation. Election year, you're not going to get anything done. You're not going to get anything done that is it's a little drop of controversy.
Right.
It's like
they may not even get tolls done.
Yeah.
I don't even think they'll get tolls done.
They're not going to get it done.
Nah.
They're not going to get it done. Nope. They're not going to get it done.
So that's why we're going to go with that stripped down version and see if they'll even go for that.
Yeah. Have you ever been so high that you thought you were going to die?
Not in a long, long time.
All right. That's a yes, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
That'd be yes. Yeah.
Can't not remember. A long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
By you?
Yeah, I have.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I never had that.
Oh, yeah. The weed now is really good.
Right, really strong.
This is probably 5 years ago.
Right.
And, you know, young Chaz is in college, and some of his,
buds.
Buds came over, literally.
Yes.
And I was bragging on, like, I used to smoke that stuff.
Of course, old school. Yeah.
And would you like to try some? Like, yeah.
Give me that, damn it.
That was a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. 8 hours later.
I thought I was going to die.
Where'll the chips go?
And then I'm eating pizza.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good. All right.
Then you felt good, see?
Exactly.
And full.
Pizza. Yeah. All right, brother. Keep up the fight. Gary McNamara, former police chief, Fairfield in studio. Your mom knows, how do you know Ashley just came in? You guys know each other?
Yeah. Gary knows my mom, and my mom is Bailey's professor. I think. Either this semester or previous semester?
Yeah, last semester. Yeah, we live in the same area.
And, oh, nice.
And my daughter goes to Quinnipiac, and Ashley's mom was her professor last semester.
Uh-huh, okay.
Trade informant.
I don't know what kind of grade she got, but I'm going to double check that.
Right. Yeah, really.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
Yeah,
might be cars towed away from Ashley's house there.
Yeah, check the files.
It's got a tow truck out here. Right. Some violations.
Right.
All right, so let's talk about the. We were talking about this story with the a bunch of elderly people rounded up at a place in Fairfield that's known for sexual hookups.
Yeah. In the past, it was. Yes,
right.
Exactly.
And when you're an up and coming police officer, the first thing you want to do is go undercover because it's cool, right?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and I remember the first time, young detective, and they said, "Listen, you're finally going to get undercover, and we have a problem up in a certain area of town, and you know."
Was it this area?
Yeah, close to this area. It wasn't that park, but it was
close
to that area.
So this area is kind of a known area.
Directly from the left, yes.
I remember in the 80s that Merritt Parkway had these places where you could park along, and it was known for people just going and hooking up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
was the
gas
station in the Queen movie.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the first one. And so, you know, you get wired up, you know. So this is, you know, here's your microphone so we can listen to you.
Oh,
young
wow.
Detective.
Microphone.
Wired for sound, yes.
You see your wire, you know, taped around. This is
and
like a big deal.
Oh, taped your chest and everything.
Like, oh, I'm a real cop. Yeah.
Like
it's
in the
like
movies.
The movies.
Right, right, right.
And they gave me the keys to the car and they said, go down and get the car and then drive to this commuter lot.
Like,
and
oh, I'm going to get a cool car.
Get the car.
And then they'll be in the van, you know, monitoring me. So, you know, this is a good operation. And I get the keys and I go downstairs and I find the car. And it's a, should have known, it's a powder puff blue Ford Probe. And, you know, just kind of like not what you would think of when
Doesn't
you're going.
Doesn't seem cool.
No.
Yeah. You know, just kind of like,
I don't remember seeing any of these in the detective shows.
Right. Yeah.
Clear instructions. Drive up to the commuter lot, back into a spot, park the car, get out. And then follow this path down into the woods, and that's where the activity is occurring. And they're being very vague with regards to the activity.
Right.
Yeah.
So it wasn't right in the car.
Like a GPS, no.
And so I remember pulling in, backing up as told, and I see the white van there that my backup is in, or the people monitoring what's occurring. And I park, and I remember distinctly slamming the car door, the Ford Probe car door. I slammed as loud as I guess a Ford Probe car door can slam.
So you total it, yeah.
Yeah. And,
is that your way of telling your crew I'm here?
Well, no, it's just my way of closing the door.
Yeah, you're pissed.
No, I'm excited. This is it.
I'm a slamming door.
And I should have known. There's subtle things after the fact you should have known. And when I slammed the car door, I heard about six car doors slam. Yeah, so I should have recognized at that point that what's actually occurring. And I follow instructions.
What were they like? I'm going to listen to the rest of the story.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on, but I know that when I got out of the car and closed my door, at least six other people got out of their cars and closed their doors.
But they didn't all pull up at the same time.
No.
So they're sitting there.
Yeah.
You get out.
And I walk in. Yep.
And it's
like
on.
Fresh meat.
That's
exactly
right. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Let's welcome the new guy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They're walkers.
Right.
They're walkers. Except they called them bonus.
I haven't seen this car here before.
You must be new in town.
Fresh meat.
Look at that.
Holy cow.
That's what they said, holy cow.
That's right.
Do you know what's happening now? Or you don't know what's
happening?
You have no idea.
No.
Oh, this is even better.
And you're wearing a wire.
Hmm. Walk into the woods, walk down a little path, and I'm greeted by an older gentleman. Yeah, I'd say probably 60s, 65. So in that same range. And he walks up to me to engage in conversation, and he says, "Hey, have you been here before?" And I'm like, "Well, no."
Oh, wow. It's just like a nightclub. Yeah. Come here often?
My first time, yeah.
Oh, my first time.
Yeah, excellent. Can I get you a pine cone?
Yeah. Let me show you around.
That's right. I'm like, you know, where's the exchange of money and drugs or whatever it is that I'm buying? And he says, "Hey, it's nice back here. It's a good place to take it out." And I'm like, pardon?
Take what out?
My wallet?
What, my wallet?
my
drugs?
My aggression?
Yeah.
My feelings?
Pardon me, sir?
Right.
It's a good place to take it out. And I'm like, huh? And he goes, to take a leak. It's a good place to go to the bathroom.
Oh,
and I'm like, well, that's all right.
Is that code word?
Yeah, I guess so. For him, it was.
Right.
And at that moment, as I'm trying to process it, he reaches out and grabs me where no man should ever grab a undercover detective.
Gotcha. Ooh. Right in your wire.
Right. And, unless you're a doctor.
Right in your wire.
Or in your doctor room.
And it's at that quick moment in time that I realized this undercover operation is to catch individuals going in the woods to solicit sex from other people.
I love that they didn't tell you any of that.
The new guy gets it.
Let Gary find out on his own.
Yeah.
He'll figure it out.
Should have a video camera.
Let's see if his detective skills will work.
Right.
Yeah, what's happening.
Those little things you remember. So I cuffed him, put him on the ground, and I hear the laughter coming from my backup as they're pouring out of the van laughing what I just had to encounter.
Yeah.
So it was,
yeah.
it was a rite of passage
it
of
was.
Young detectives, I guess,
right.
going undercover.
Oh, I'm picturing for like 10 years, every time you go into the bathroom, if you're at the urinal, somebody looks over and goes, "Hey, Gary, good place to take it out."
Yeah.
Good place to take it out, Gary.
Right. Yeah, you check the bathroom, lock the door. You never go in there with anybody else.
Didn't at the end of one of these occurrences, it turns out that you knew the person?
Yeah, so that was later on. I was now a sergeant. Dad, what are you doing here? What you're going to the casino.
What are you doing
I knew you were playing golf. Is Mono here?
Yeah, so, I was a sergeant at the time. We still had the problems. A different park. Actually, this same park, Grace Richardson, that this event occurred recently. And on a Saturday, wanted to go back there and kind of take a peek at what was occurring.
Sure you did.
Yeah.
All right, good.
So,
yeah. Police
scout
work.
Out the right. area. So we're undercover. We walk in the path, and we see some individual coming in. Not planned. He comes walking in. So we split up. Me and myself and another detective split up. And I'm hoping he doesn't follow the path I took. And sure enough, he follows the path I'm on. Comes up, I'm leaning against the tree. He walks by me, then he turns around. I'm looking at him, he's looking at me, and he's tugging at his belt. Like, I guess that's the signals. And he starts engaging in this conversation.
When you're looking at him, and he's looking at you, are you able to keep that without, like, cracking up or, looking away?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, this is,
It's like, here we go again.
Right.
It wasn't, like, I've done this, I'm not the rookie anymore.
Yeah.
So bottom line is he's, first of all, kids are in these parks. So there's a reason to keep people out of these parks.
It's all fun and games until.
Exactly. Yeah. So he starts saying stuff. He starts asking personal questions and at one point asks me, for a descriptor of, you get the parts he wants to know the description of. And I'm like, look, at this point, buddy, I can't take it anymore. I yell out, police, you're under arrest. And I take him into custody, call for the guy that I was with. And we're walking him out. And I said, what's your name? And he tells me his name. And it hits me. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't forget his name, but wait a minute. Joe, I know you. Like, you're Joe. Like, and it hits me at that moment in time. I'm like, did he recognize me as being me and say, oh, that's just me. I'm in the park. But, like, I know you. And
hey, Gary.
Yeah, like.
So grab your wiener.
Yeah, right. I could never go in those woods again for fear of so it's, you never know where you're going
to
know.
I just want to hear the description. How do you describe
I feel like I know you, yes.
I feel like I know you.
I feel like I know you.
I saw that in gym class. Gary, thanks for coming in, man. Jimmy Coplick, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
What's up, man?
Good.
We didn't get a chance last time around to talk to you about 25 years of Xfinity Theater shows.
Yes. And, we have Hootie next week coming up.
Ooh, Hootie.
Which is our first show we ever had there. And I booked it because it was this new band that was coming out. I thought it would do about 5,000 tickets. Booked the show like in February. And by the time it comes around, he's become this giant hot star. And he draws over 15,000 people. And I only wanted to draw 5,000 people because we'd never run the outdoor amphitheater before. We knew we'd have problems. We don't want too many people there. So we ended up, we had 15,000 people there. So
excellent.
It ended up being a trial by fire, actually.
What did you learn?
I learned I don't know how to pick artists well. Oh. I fooled the industry for 51 years.
Right.
Yeah. I think people would make an argument that you do know how to pick artists. But at Xfinity, did you learn, like, wow, we need more beer?
More hot dogs.
Or better supply line?
Nachos.
Like,
one thing we learned, we did not need more women's bathrooms because I purposely built two women for every one man.
Oh.
I did that, so I learned that. But we did not have enough concession stands.
Oh.
So we had to start building concession stands.
Wow, so from that one show, you said, but we need more.
Yep, we need more because the lines were too long.
Right.
Oh, wow.
You don't want that.
No, it was terrible. Yeah, and we today's 25 years, and we've probably had 5 to 6 million people there, and it has worked out great. I mean, it's very popular. It draws tremendous numbers of people, It averages between 14,000 and 15,000 people a show, which is among the top in all the Live Nation amphitheaters.
Wow.
It really is a quite a success story, I must say.
How did you pick that spot?
Well, I was working with Governor Weicker at the time, and I said, I need land. Connecticut's hard to find 30, 40, 50 acres in because it's so tightly, it's densely populated. And he suggested that I go to Bridgeport. And I looked at him and I go, I'm not building anything in Bridgeport. This was back in 1995. He stands up and he was like 6'6" and he looks over, towers over me. And looks at me and goes, then what the F am I going to do with Bridgeport? I looked up at him. I go, you decided to run for governor. I'm just a concert promoter.
Yeah. That's your
this
problem.
Is not my problem.
Yeah, this is your problem, guy, not mine.
So then he found this spot in Hartford, which was in the South Meadows, which was where the food market is, which I loved, but the leases for the places that were selling the food there were way too long for us to deal with. So then he suggested we look in the North Meadows at this piece of property that was just grass and trees and overgrown dents and crap and stuff like that.
Wow.
And so we decided let's look there, and we loved it. Before that, we were looking in Killington. I think it's exit 68 off the off 84. And we went in front of the Killington Board of Selectmen and got turned down.
Unreal.
Look at that, boy.
Oh, yes. Can you believe that?
Money on the table left there.
Ah.
The Meadows would have been right off that exit. I think it was 68, the exit. And there's a truck stop there now. And we wanted to build the Meadows there. They turned us down. And they hit me. I didn't go to the hearing because I didn't want them to think it was going to be a rock and roll venue. So I stayed home that night and didn't have my name attached to it. And my partner was the Niederlander family from Broadway. So we thought that would be a good front. Let them think they're going to do it instead of me.
Gotcha.
Didn't work.
Nope. What idiots!
Yep.
Quite a great venue, 6 million people, right off 84. I mean, the exit, you cross right into the venue.
That would have been great for the tax base, for all the residents, for businesses,
all that
hotel. You name it.
Even the police tickets.
I wonder, do they know?
I don't know. This was 1993. I have to tell you, I'm glad they turned us down because Hartford ended up.
Yeah.
A fabulous place, little did we know. But back then, most amphitheaters were being built in the country, not in the city. We decided to go into a city because of the offer of the property. And now the city is a hot thing. Lollapalooza's in the city. In the city is where people want to go, not into the country. So we lucked out.
You could not have had a better spot there in Hartford. It's so perfect. But, man, I would have just called there.
Yeah, right. You
know? Hey, this is Jimmy Copley. Remember like 10 years ago? Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't even know. 25 years later, they have no idea.
None.
I think they're just all finding out right now as you're on the radio.
Right.
Yeah, they might be.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Well, they got a truck stop.
They got a truck stop.
Almost
well, that's
the same
good.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, people say trucks.
That'll put them on the map.
Right, yeah.
Can you go over your top most memorable Xfinity Theater performances?
Well, the first one I remember the most would be the Eagles, and I believe that was 1996. I'm a giant Eagles fan. I looked at them as one of the great acts I wanted to bring there, and I literally stood on the side of the stage the whole show. Having Elton John our first year was very, very memorable. No doubt about that. Also, Bruce Springsteen, the E Street Band in 2009.
Wow.
In fact, if you looked on my archive page, it was the Working on a Dream. It was the anniversary. It was the 10-year anniversary, excuse me, of the show. And we showed the set list, and we showed the backstage pass, which was Working on a Dream, backstage pass. And it was like 100 degrees outside, but it was, I consider him the greatest live performer there is, and to have him at the amphitheater was a personal triumph for me. And then Farm Aid last year.
Right.
Farm Aid is just remarkable.
Was it Killington or Killingworth?
I think it's Killington.
Killington is where you wanted to put it. Right. Imagine there'd be Bruce Springsteen, Elton John, Eagles.
I'm sorry. It's Willington.
Willington.
Okay. It's Willington.
Is it Willington?
Yeah, I don't even know where that is.
Yeah.
That is up 84, east of Hartford, Willington, Connecticut. Huh. It's not Killington. It's Willington.
Gotcha. Willington. We want to make sure the dumbasses get the correct credit.
Exactly. So Killington at the hook. Willington, yes.
No, but picture it. There'd be a Bruce Springsteen t-shirt. It'd be like New York.
Right.
Los Angeles. Dallas. Willington.
Right. Little question mark. Look, it's like Willington? Yeah.
But Willington said no.
Willington?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you see that with Uncasville.
Right.
In New York, Philadelphia, Boston, and Uncasville.
Right.
You make a good point. So, but now Uncasville is known for, right.
Throw
so
that, the map now.
That would have changed. Willington would have been known for being a music hub.
Yep, right. On the map, yep.
The first few years, it would have been Willington?
Willington?
And then it would be,
Willington.
Willington.
Willington
yeah,
rocks.
We get it.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I have to tell you, Willington, they were very country-like, and they really had no interest in having us there. They were, now this was 25 years ago, they were, I heard, on the rude side of how they treated us. You're right, everything would have been Willington, Willington. And the people that lived out there really would have had a really wonderful, easy ride to go to concerts.
But also, they could look at their tax bill, and it would be lower because there'd just be revenue coming in.
Absolutely.
There would have been a ton of revenue coming
in. Oh, no
doubt
about it.
Yep.
Ruby Road in Willington is where it was going to be on.
It's freaking hysterical.
So, wow.
It all worked out. Everything worked out.
In the end, yes.
But damn, Willington. Man, you effed up Willington.
Yep.
I want to call Willington right now and just say, do you guys know what we just found out?
All four people? Really?
Nothing against the people of Willington.
No,
they're
not.
Good.
No,
it's
no,
just
no.
That the people at that point, 25 years ago, running the place were dumb.
Yeah. Dumbass.
I know you got to go, and I just want to kind of plant this seed. Maybe you pop out a couple of names quickly, and then we'll talk about it more next week. Most famous Connecticut concerts. I know one would be the Dead at Dillon Stadium. You know, it was the seed for the idea of Watkins Glen.
Right.
Doors in New Haven, right?
The Doors in New Haven, the Stones at Toad's, Bob Dylan at Toad's. I would say Rolling Thunder Review at the New Haven Coliseum where Dylan and Springsteen met for the first time. And there is a picture, I just saw the picture actually, of them meeting backstage at the Coliseum for the first time.
Holy crap.
The Eagles at Yale Bowl.
Right.
70,000 people. I would consider that. The 10 Billy Joel shows, the original residency. It's quite a history. I have to tell you, when you think about it, it's quite a history.
So that'll be what we talk about next week, and we'll ask you to bring us behind the scenes on Connecticut's most famous concerts, including Milli Vanilli at Lake Compounds.
Yes.
That was not my show.
No, but it exposed them as being frauds.
And they happened here in Connecticut.
Right. Because the record
I've
was
had been, don't misunderstand me. I have promoted frauds in my life. So I
hey, you're talking to us right now.
And I actually have promoted Milli Vanilli at the New Haven Coliseum. But the Lake Compound show was not my show.
For the record, yes.
For the record. Well, thank you for coming on, brother. We will talk to you next week. I love this guy, and I love what he's doing with his energy.
What's that?
Greg Musco is on. Hey, how are you, brother?
How you doing?
Hey.
Good, thank you. How you doing?
How you doing?
Not bad.
Greg is chair of the Corporate Donations and Sponsorship Committee of the Raging Knights Firefighter Motorcycle Club.
Right.
So you have to be a firefighter to get into this club, right?
It's made up of active, retired, volunteer, and military firefighters, and we do accept associate members, too.
Okay.
People that have our same mission.
Yeah, I love that. It's not enough to be a firefighter. Let's, on our off time, help people who have been, who need help.
Exactly. You know? That's what they do. It's how they're wired.
Right. It's how they're wired.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So you have an event coming up a week from Saturday. Tell us about it.
All right. Well, we do a few events a year, and this one, our charity of choice, what we support is the Arthur C. Luft Children's Burn Camp. And it's a place where kids can go. That have been tragically or horribly burned in fires. and they can just be kids again. You know, it's up in Union, Connecticut. It's a Boy Scout camp, and they get it for 2 weeks a year. And that's our main mission, is we raise money so we can get kids to these camps, to this camp, so they can have fun and just be kids again. Right.
So these are kids who can't go to a normal camp because they have too many medical issues at that time.
Yeah, that, and, you know, the probably the stigma of people staring at them, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
You know, they're all the same here, you know, and they're all kids, and they could be kids again.
That's right. Cool.
Yeah, it's a you know, very good thing that we do. You know, our founder, Rick Chatterton, founded this club with, you know, that mission in mind. And we've been doing it now for 10 years. You know, we were just named Benefactor of the Year by the Connecticut Connecticut Burn Cares Foundation.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a pretty good honor. And, you know, we just enjoy what we do. You know, we have some good bands. We have a lot of good sponsors, a lot of raffle prizes. Your boy Flanders is going to be there.
Oh, Flanders,
really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay far.
Watch out for his handshake.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Don't take him off.
Have him, like, there should be a competition, Flanders against the Jaws of Life.
Right. Who's stronger?
Right.
Yeah. We, you know, we've been to your toy drive at Jordan's. We help out with that.
We appreciate
that. Thank you very much for that, yes.
Yeah. We always see you guys there.
Yep.
We couldn't thank you enough for that. And I'm going to guess that a week from Saturday, it's Labor Day weekend, firefighters are having an event with live music. I'm going to just go out on a limb here and say there might be beer there.
Yeah, there might be some beer there.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of food, a lot of vendors, you know, and 100% of our net proceeds will go to the burn camp, you know. And it's just something we like to do, and it gives us joy.
So let's see. It's food. It's bands.
Right.
It's
beer.
Right.
And you're helping kids.
It sounds like a party to me.
I don't know. I don't think it gets better.
No, it does not.
We have a dunk tank there, so you might see a night or two in the dunk tank and...
The key to making money with that is you got to put the most obnoxious riders in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
We do have a couple.
The mouths.
Okay. Flanders would be good, too.
Yep.
I can try to get him in there.
All right. We'll get him on the phone.
We'll call it Bath Night.
We'll see him tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
That's his mission for the day, is to get in the dunk tank.
I would love that.
We low load it.
If he does, I'll take a picture and post it.
Yeah, please do. The two bands that you have playing, one is War Brothers. I'm guessing that this band's made up of veterans?
No, they're a young band. They're two sets of twins.
No.
They're all brothers. And they used to be called Crosby. And they just had a little problem with the name and decided to change it to War Brothers.
Don't tell me David Crosby stepped on, like...
Yes.
Really?
Really?
Oh, my God.
The David Crosby stories never end.
My God, he pisses everybody off.
Like, why? You know, they're kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Relax.
They're a really good band. They do it every year for us, you know.
Nice.
For nothing. And we make, you know, we put a jar out there, at least so they can make money, and they don't even want it.
Right.
You know, they give it back to us.
And then the other band is American 27s. What does that mean?
They're a band that they play a lot of covers of people that have passed away.
Oh, at 27.
Okay.
All right, so what do we got? Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Amy Winehouse, Kurt Cobain.
The Doors.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so, that's interesting. Gotcha. American 27s.
That's interesting, Jim.
They're a pretty good band. We went and watched them play. You know, and so.
Oh, that sounds like a fun time. $20 a head.
Yep.
Food, beer while it lasts.
To a good
bands,
cause.
And it goes for the kids who have been burnt. You can't beat this. We'll link up at WPLR.com. Greg, thank you. And thanks for everyone in the Raging Nights for everything you guys
thank you.
And girls do. Thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.